I told you, Walter.
I'm going to say that.
That was last winter. I know. I got something else on my mind. I'll bring up a little bit of it. It has to do with my vacation. John 3, I want to begin reading in verse 19. Because I'm not going to read John 3:16. Everybody should know that. And this is the condemnation. That light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light.
Amen.
Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God. I like that. I do. Now these are the words after John 3:16. These are the words and the scripture verses they don't hold up at basketball games.
Yeah, that's for sure.
They like to hold up John 3:16. You'll see it everywhere. With that guy with a rainbow wig on. It's there. I've watched sporting events. I try not to do it too much anymore, and I don't. These are the words that preachers don't preach. And there's a very good reason for this. These are the words that the vast majority of religious people do not understand or believe. Because these words speak of condemnation.
Yeah.
That's not what people want to hear about. And even more importantly, these speak of condemnation now.
Yeah. Right now.
Yeah. Not later. People do not like words of a specifically large and general, or specifically general, condemnation. They don't like condemnation spoken of in the past tense. People would prefer a condemnation to come if you don't change your ways. People prefer a condemnation like the following: God's going to get you for that. Future. People prefer almost anything to the truth that's revealed in the scripture. John 3:18 specifically states, he that believeth not, is condemned. Condemnation is here. Condemnation was here 2,000 years ago, and maybe a little further back. Maybe. Now it does say if you believe on Christ, you're not condemned. That's already here too. In a couple of chapters going on in John, you'll see that if you believe on Christ, this is the work of God.
Amen.
Later on after that, you can see, if you believe on Christ, you were chosen from before the foundation of the world.
Yep, that's what it says.
But that's another message or three. What Christ said here, that light came into the world, and men loved darkness.
Yeah.
Now, I'll say it right now in the present tense. Light came into the world, and men love darkness because their deeds are evil. And see, that's the supposition that people don't like. That what was said here is still true now.
Yeah.
And that's what they're trying to avoid. But this is the condemnation. Christ said so. It's already here, and it's been here, and now I have scientific proof. It's right here. God bless the internet some days. Here's a little title on the top of this piece of paper. I printed this off because I don't trust my memory so much anymore. It starts out, darkness begins dishonesty. And that's what the study found. Behavioral researchers found out that dim lights make it seem to a person in their brain like nobody's watching them, or they can't see them, or they can't identify them. And it triggers moral transgressions in many people. Newsflash. This was from the University of Toronto in Canada. It's amazing. You know, kids play hide and seek, and they'll stick their head under a cover, and they think you can't see them because they can't see you. Well, it turns out adults aren't very far from that. A dark room can have similar psychological effects on adults. I love this stuff. Science, I'm telling you. They did a few studies, okay? And basically what they did was they put people in a room and they had them solve these problems, and they would take money out of the envelope for each problem they solved correctly. Well, if the lights were on really, really bright, you know, maybe 7 or 8 people did well, okay? When the lights were dim, it was amazing. It went up to 12. And the people didn't get any smarter. In another experiment, they had people wearing sunglasses. Just sunglasses, because their perception was dimmed. And they thought they could get away with something. They were doing a thing where they were actually giving money to their partner. And the people wearing sunglasses gave significantly less, like about half. Because they thought they could get away with it. It's amazing. And they asked them, surveyed them after all this stuff was done. The people wearing sunglasses and the people in the dim room answered the question that they thought it was more, they thought it was, let me see here, they were more likely to disagree with this statement, "I was watched during the study," because their perceptions had changed. You gotta love human nature. It's nothing new under the sun. Darkness begets dishonesty. No, it doesn't. Sorry, Walter. It reveals it. It reveals it. Now, see, they're scientists going from a social thing, okay? And they're revealing human nature, but they don't relate it to human nature. It's the darkness's fault. If we had lights everywhere, there wouldn't be any crime. Yes, there would be. If only in people's hearts. Because it's in there. It comes out in the dark. That's why they say people like to wear hoods. Because you can be more of a gangster. People can't recognize me. I can do whatever I want. And some people do. Most people don't. Same day. I got another study. I said, God bless the internet. Why we lie. I love it because we're admitting that we lie. The only problem is
scientists don't consider themselves part of the liars and the people affected by darkness. They are.
This is why I said what I said this morning, Walter. As soon as people feel their self-esteem is threatened, they immediately begin to lie at higher levels. Many animals engage in deception or deliberately misleading another, like in hunting. But only humans are wired to deceive both themselves and others, researchers say. God bless them. That is. People are so engaged in managing how others perceive them that they are often unable to separate truth from fiction in their own minds. And that's true. That was Mr. Feldman's research. He's from the University of Massachusetts. I work at a car dealership. I'm going to tell you something. Truth and fiction very seldom meet. Okay? There's a whole lot of fiction. There may be a little bit of truth. But generally, the twain don't meet. And you wouldn't think this was true. Car salesmen don't like being called liars. Especially when they are. They hate it. I'm serious. Even after I've caught them, say, "You just lied to me a minute ago." Don't call me a liar. Don't be one. I know. How to win friends and influence people. I'm not real good at it, but some days I get a little tense in my job. There's a statement here that he wrote, Mr. Feldman, or Dr. Feldman, or whatever his name is. People almost lie reflexively. They don't think about it as part of their normal social discourse. But it is. And I'll change that statement. People lie reflexively. It ain't almost. They did a 10-minute study where they put two people in a room. And then they asked the people to come outside, and they said, "How many inaccurate statements did you make?" They said, "None." Then they played the tape for them. "Oh, yeah, that's not exactly true. Oh, yeah, that's not exactly true. Oh, no, that's not." 60% of the people in there told at least one lie. For an average of 2.94 lies per 10 minutes. See, that's 18 an hour and not even trying hard. Everybody's a car salesman. Even me. In 10 minutes. But I did like this statement. They don't think about it. And they don't. Now, I do know that lies are a way around some social situations. And I'm as guilty of it as anybody else. And I will continue to be as guilty of it as anybody else. Because I have found sometimes telling the absolute truth can get you in a lot of trouble.
Oh, yeah.
But that's not what I'm talking about. I know I'm a fallen creature. I know that's part of my nature. It's in there. And I don't need darkness for some of it to come out. It'll come out in broad daylight.
Yeah.
And me not wearing sunglasses. These people don't. These studies were surprising. Because they don't know about depravity. They don't know about the condemnation. They don't think about the fact. Where is it? I wrote it down here. The wicked are estranged from the womb.
Yeah.
They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. That was me. God showed me that. I always thought I was a pretty good fellow for a while. 23 years. Sure, I lied occasionally. I was good at it. But I didn't sell cars. But then God showed me, I'm a liar. I am a sinner because sin is in me. It is part of my human nature, Mason. I personally don't mind the darkness at times. My wife, whenever I'm coming home, she turns the porch light on. I don't like that, especially in the summertime, because it attracts a bunch of bugs, which come in the front door with me when I come in. But it is, it's in the back of my mind that I prefer the porch light off, because I can get in the house without having that light on. And I don't think about it, just being the darkness. I don't like my neighbors knowing what's going on. I'm private that way. I'm a little paranoid that way. But then you read this study, the part of me still loves darkness.
Sure does.
Part of me still does. That's why people don't want to know about condemnation. Because it's here now. And I hope they continue some of these studies. I really do. They didn't really go into it, but I'm sure they think education's a cure for it. But then they'll say it's in our nature. It's like they don't know what nature means, Mason. It's like they don't understand. This is in us. It's in me. I see it. Never used to see it, Walter. Never cared to see it before. Never wanted to see it. But it's in there. And I know it. But he doesn't leave us there. Because there's a hope for some. This is the condemnation, that light's come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And for everyone that doeth evil, hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest that they are wrought in God.
Yeah.
There is hope. Like I said, I've got the same nature in me still of everyone around that loves darkness and hates the light. I have the same nature in me as those who speak lies as soon as they be born. And so do you. There's none good, no, not one. There's none that understand it. There's none that seeketh after God. Until you get to that, this is the work of God. Chapter 5. But notice here, in verse 21, it does not say, but he that doeth good.
Right. It doesn't say that.
And I'm thankful for it. It does not say, he that doeth good cometh to the light. Because I can't do good.
That's right.
There's none good save one. That's God. Good master, what must I do to be saved? Why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. He didn't call him good after that. He didn't call him good after that. There's none good but God. He that doeth truth cometh to the light. And I'm going to tell you something. To do the truth, you're going to have to know the truth a little bit.
Yeah.
You're going to have to know everything. But it's okay. If you're one of God's, he'll reveal it to you.
Amen.
And the first thing he reveals to you is what Earl called the law work. And it feels a lot like condemnation, Walter. Yeah. It's not pleasant. It's not fun. That's when you get to see you are a liar. It's when you get to see you do love darkness rather than light. It's when you get to see what is in your heart and what sometimes leaks out. Like Paul said, it's not even what I did. By the law, I was blameless.
Yeah.
Didn't say he was sinless. He said he was blameless. Nobody could point a finger at him. But when I come to thou shalt not covet, you got me. Because
yeah.
That's in here. It's inside. It's in me. And it's in you.
Yeah.
And it's in all of them. And some of these scientists may be getting an inkling. I don't know. I hope so. I just hope some neighborhoods they go into, they're careful. Because you might find out what happens in some darkness. And what always has. But they're just paying attention. See, everybody does it. It changes people's behavior. My dad is a police officer, been one for the last 30 years. And you get to see people at their worst in that line of work, which is why there are a lot of cops who commit suicide, because they lose faith in humanity, which is understandable, because you shouldn't have any faith in humanity. There's none to have, trust me. But they despair, and I don't know whether maybe it's part of it's because they start seeing it in themselves.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
They're no different than anybody else. Mm-hmm. But they see people at their worst. But there's a saying that goes around. There's a lot of people who are honest, good, upstanding citizens because of the fear of the cop.
Yeah.
And you look at other places where there aren't such law enforcement things, and there's a lot more manifested evil, crimes, murders, rapes, whatever, nobody doing anything about anything. Because it's in all of us. Now, thankfully, I'm glad to live here. I love living here. And God bless the cops for keeping things fairly decent and fairly in order as best they can. And God bless the fear of the cop, keeping some people honest. We've been blessed. But their heart's no different than anybody else's. And my heart's no different than theirs. It's in there. I see things in me I do not like. I see things in me that are not good. I see tendencies. I see temptations, thoughts, and sometimes deeds that I hate. Paul said it, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Thank God that through Jesus Christ, I shall be delivered from the body of this death. But until then, I still want to speak the truth. I still want to know the truth. I still want to do the truth. And I want to come to the light. And it will sometimes be awkward. because it will manifest some things that you don't want to think about, that are in you. And I know it does in me. But I still want to come to the light. I don't want to be anywhere else. There's nowhere else I'd rather be on Sunday morning than right here, right now. During this, the winter of our discontent, to quote Mr. Cochran, quoting somebody else, I miss this place. I miss you people. And it's good to be here in the light. Because the light does chase away the darkness. Where does the light go when you, where does the darkness go when you turn on the light? When the light's on, there ain't no darkness. And Jesus Christ is the light. There is no darkness in him. And that's what I want. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful again to be here this day. And we thank you for your blessings that we have each and every day. And that you have given us the light, your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And help us to come to him in spirit and in truth. And understand the light as it shines in our darkness. Give us the strength to walk in your ways. And we'll give you all the honor and the praise, because it is yours now and forever.